Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jetta Cameron, John Rich, it is 94 WIP. We go nonstop this segment for a while here, and it's brought to us by Ocean City Golf Getaway. Ocean City, Maryland is the hottest golf destination in the Mid-Atlantic. It is never too early to plan your trip. Book your next golf getaway at OceanCityGolf.com. All right, the Diddy, Ray Diddinger, to join us any moment. We'll talk to Ray and get his thoughts on what's going on with the birds. Let's go back to the phones, talk to John in Coatesville. Hey, John.
Hey, Joe, John, how you guys doing today?
Super.
Listen, first I caught up about Ramsey, but before I get to that, so I want to talk to you about Carson Wentz real quick.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I can tell you're scared that he's going to get injured again.
Well, I'm concerned.
Scared is a better word. That's good.
So I'm going to help you out a little. I'm going to help Joe out a little bit, John. I'm going to do him a favor.
Okay.
With Wade Daniel, the football expert of Philadelphia, coming in the studio soon.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, why don't you take the rest of the show off, like John and Wade hang to the show, and if you're scared, go to the SPCA and go get a dog.
Ah, you're doing the Howard Eskin thing. See, I'd probably rather drive down to Ocean City and go play some golf at Ocean City Golf Getaway that I was just talking about. But that's an interesting thought. The go get a dog, the Howard thought. All right, let's welcome in. Appreciate the call, my man. Let's welcome in the man that is a Hall of Famer, we believe, eight times over in various Hall of Fames throughout the Delaware Valley. And his chair almost fell, and so fortunately it did not. And he is also the birthday boy.
Yes, how about that?
Happy birthday to Ray Diddinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Joseph. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Ray, happy birthday. We're happy to see you. And of course, an added bonus here in an Eagle season, and your birthday. I guess, well, your birthday has always been an Eagle season. Now that I think about it,
always.
Yeah, it just dawned on me that reality. All right, Ray, let's get right to it. Last caller alluded to it. I've talked about it, and John has as well for 3 days. Although John and I are not aligned on this completely. Let's just start with Carson, and we'll get to the team. I believe that we're seeing a few different things from Carson. There's no question he was affected by what was out there on the field around him. I'm not pushing that aside. I get it. You lose your two top wide receivers, your backup tight end. It's going to change the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe, though, that he is still fundamentally playing the game from a style standpoint in a way that is more apt to lead to injury than if he was not playing that way.
Hmm.
And I'm concerned about it. I also think, but don't know, Ray, but I think he's probably not quite as good at reading defenses as most people think he is. Because otherwise, why doesn't the ball just come out? So, Ray, we do turn to you
Hold
and
on,
say...
Let me paraphrase what Joe is saying. What he's been saying and continues to say,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't think Carson Wentz is as good as I do and a lot of people
Yeah,
do.
That is true.
He thinks Carson is going to get hurt because he keeps doing dumb things because he can't read the defense well.
Enough. Ray,
which I vehemently disagree with, and there are a lot of people, Joe included, who say that I am being the Carson protectionist.
Well, I'll say this. I have heard more people this week in Joe's camp than yours. I'm surprised. I mean, I've heard so many people in the last few days that are hypercritical of the quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's to an amazing degree.
It Josh McCown completed two passes really quick in the flat?
I had people.
Why did he make it look so easy, Ray?
I had people tell me they should have left McCown in.
Yeah.
And I mean that's how crazy this thing is. I think what he did on Sunday. It was a game of highs and lows. I mean, he certainly wasn't great in the first half, but I thought what he did in the second half was really good. The one thing that I would say about him still is he still holds the ball too long. I do think he does that, and I don't think it's because he can't read the defense. I think he is. I don't know if cautious is the right word, or even conservative is the right word. I think he just wants to be absolutely sure of what he's doing before he lets the ball go, which sometimes to play quarterback in this league, if you want to stay healthy, you have to be a little reckless. And I think I think reckless doesn't come easily. His personality is not a reckless personality. He's a very deliberate kind of guy in the way he's lived his life and the way he goes about things.
Sure.
And I think it carries over into the field.
That's a great point. And we haven't talked about that part. I mean, he is very, you know, conservative, parsimonious with the ball, knows how important turnover that margin is, and wants to do the right thing. And so I have often said that he's holding on to it because he's trying to take too big a bite at times, but it's also because he just wants to be too sure that it's going to be a completion and not an interception.
Okay, but that's his fault, not my fault. I just want to make sure, right? We put that on him, not on me and everyone else, right?
No, we put it all on you, Joe.
No, but my point, it's another... Ray, I think your point is wonderful, that his personality may lead to the play, but I just want to be like...
But that goes away when he gets into a rhythm. He hasn't been in a rhythm consistently this year. When we've seen him get into that, I think what Ray's talking about goes out the window, where he's not thinking the way he overthinks, and he's just letting it fly. He, Doug, Press Taylor, they need to figure out a way to get him into that mode more quickly.
And maybe that's true. I would just say this, Ray. Like when people like John says, I guess the summation of where John was just at is, okay, sometimes Carson overthinks. It strikes me as yet another apologist path on the Carson thing. Now the excuse is he overthinks. Next week, the excuse is going to be he held on to it too long because he wanted to make a big play. The week after that, the excuse is going to be he got hurt because the offensive line wasn't so good. And I mean, it's just next week. At some point, all that stuff, like, you just got to I don't want to hear about the quarterback overthinks.
You know,
but sometimes it's the reality.
Especially when the coach was just in his ear for 6 months saying, make sure you get the ball out quick, make sure you take care of yourself. Like, it's game two.
You're out of your mind.
Sunday, he's playing with a whole bunch of guys he didn't intend to play with. So he doesn't have the same kind of clarity looking down the field with the same kind of look. A lot of playing quarterback in the NFL is trust and anticipation. You don't have enough time to let guys get open. You have to trust that the guys are going to be where they're supposed to be when you let the ball go. That's half of it when you let the ball go. And you work all week with one group of guys, and you develop your own sense of timing and space and place, that these are the guys we're going to go out with. This is the game plan we're going to run. I know exactly where they're going to be on this route. I can let it go at this moment. Boom. You take those guys out, and you put another bunch of guys in that you haven't repped with all week. All of a sudden, the quarterback doesn't have that same level of confidence. And all you're talking about here, Joe, is a second. You're talking about the difference of a second to a second and a half of the ball still being in his hand. But Carson Wentz, to me, is a guy, look, we all know, you know, he was the valedictorian of his class. He's a straight-A student. He strikes me as a guy that all through school always had his number two lead pencils always lined up exactly right next to the paper. Yeah. And I think that's God bless him. I think it's a wonderful quality to have. I think it's one of the reasons he's been successful. But I also think you can't separate that from what he does as a football player. That's the way he's going to play the game. And more often than not, it's going to allow you to win. But sometimes when things happen around him and that little sense of order that he kind of needs to really function is disrupted, as it was last week when, first of all, and we really haven't gotten to the area that I think was the biggest problem. I think the offensive line was bad.
Yeah.
And if they're going to win this week, if they're going to beat the Detroit Lions, and hey, by the way, they need to beat the Detroit Lions because they're going to have a tough time in Lambeau the following Thursday night, and you don't want to be 1-3, okay? So this is, even though everybody chalked this one up as an easy W, I'm not so sure it's an easy W, but is it absolutely necessary W? That's part of what they're going to have to do this week. We know they're not getting those receivers back. So to me, the key to this game is, to me, I'm putting this one right on the offensive line. The running game. Say, boys, this is your week.
Right,
so you got to go out there and you got to win this game till we get our passing game back.
I feel like, Joe, you think that Carson's supposed to go out there and perform with precision like clockwork when so many pieces of the clock are just broken and decimated and not even included in the clock. you seem to think it's all on him to figure out a way to get other guys to run their routes the right way, to get open, to block for him the right way. And all this blame, I understand he's the quarterback. It's all going to be on his shoulders. But I think it is, like, you don't understand how things work when you say Carson is the problem.
Well, I'm not saying he's the problem. I think he's contributed to the overall problem. I do. All right, Ray, the offensive line. Say Amalo for sure. Are there other individuals that are flat out hurting them? I know John, for instance, made the point prior to the season starting, based on what he saw from Dillard in the preseason, that he thought Dillard was already better than Peters and should sometime this year replace Peters. Are you in any zone in any way about that kind of stuff, or is it just ride with these five guys? That's it.
That's kind of where I am, because I thought they played pretty good against Washington, against what I think is a pretty good front. I thought the offensive line looked good in that game, especially the second half. I mean, they really controlled the line of scrimmage. Sure didn't do it Sunday night, and I understand it's a different kind of team that they were playing there, that Atlanta team. I don't think they're a good defense. I really don't. But I can understand that they're a hard defense to prepare for, because they do so much stuff up front to kind of make up for the fact that they're small, that they do a lot of jumping around and they do a lot of changing their fronts. And I think if you're an offensive line and you don't see them all the time and you don't see that kind of thing all the time, it's hard to kind of zero in on your targets and know exactly where your blocks are and where the leverage is. And they made it hard. And it disappointed me that the Eagles, to me, didn't seem to adjust to that as the game went along. I mean, that's a team that they should have been able to run the ball on. I mean, Lord knows the Minnesota Vikings had no trouble running on them, but the Eagles really had trouble running on them. And, you know, that was, I thought, just to get back to Wentz just for a moment, I really thought what Wentz did in the fourth quarter, to me, was the definition of quarterbacking. I really do. On a night when everything's going wrong and you haven't been able to get anything going, any kind of continuity, in the drive in the fourth quarter when you have to take your team down the field, you have to do this. And you know you don't have your best players, and you have no running game, and your offensive line isn't protecting you very well. As the quarterback, you kind of have to find a way to make the plays that are going to get you in that position. And he did it.
Yep.
He did it over and over again. And in that way, and I'm not making this as a strict, straight-up comparison. I'm really not. I'm not trying to. But in a lot of ways, when he plays like that, the guy he reminds me of is Elway. Because Elway statistically was not a great quarterback. If you look at his career, his completion percentage was kind of average. Touchdowns, interceptions was okay, but not great. But damn, in the fourth quarter, when he had to drive his team down to win a game, he always found a way to do it. And sometimes it was off script, but he found a way to do it.
But Ray, Joe,
and I when I watched this guy play, what I saw on Sunday to me was almost Elway like in the way he brought his team back and put him in a position where they're ahead. And they're one stop away from winning that game. I mean, that's kind of what quarterbacking is, beyond the statistics.
And then he threw the winning touchdown, and it was dropped. And then there are the detractors who say, yeah, all that's well and good, but Carson played too recklessly, and he's just going to get hurt anyway because he's playing and putting himself at risk. He played the way he had to play. He did what he had to do, which is what you're saying. And we've got a keeper. We've got a gamer. We've got the guy that everyone else is looking for. And here we sit and, you know, it's just consternation about how he's going to get himself hurt. He's not getting himself anything but whatever it requires to win a game. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's anything reckless about the way he's playing. I mean, he's trying to play every single play to get the most out of it. And sometimes the nature of football is, as a quarterback, you're going to find yourself in that position whether you want it or not. It just happens. But, I mean, I've seen quarterbacks that are flat-out reckless. You know, I mean, Favre made a career out of being reckless. You know, Randall made a career out of being reckless until he came back as Randall 2.0 in Minnesota. So I've seen reckless, and this guy isn't reckless. To me, he's very calculating, but sometimes the circumstances take you in a different place.
888-729-9494. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, Ray Dittinger in studio. These guys ganging up on me. Even if I am right, that's okay. I'm going to have to go home and wash my mouth out with soap with disagreeing with the Diddy.
No. See if this, you know, John, I have a feeling if this wasn't my birthday, he'd be pushing back a lot harder than he is.
You know
right
what
now.
I'd be saying, Ray, if it wasn't your birthday?
What?
High wire act.
There you go.
And inconsistent.
There you go.
And by the way, I love the guy, and I admire him like heck.
Mm-hmm.
What he did in the second half, fourth quarter especially, was incredible. But, oh, boy, a six passer rating in the first half. I mean, you got to account for that. Were the ribs a factor? Were they not? Let's go to the phones. Talk to John in Germantown. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, John.
Hey, John. But it is his birthday, so I won't say you high wire acting inconsistent.
You know, for a long time, man, as a black man, right, I thought Philly just didn't like black quarterbacks because they always wanted the backup. Like, I never understood that. But it's not just people in Philly are insane. Like, Josh Freeman, he threw two passes, and now he just I've seen Josh McCown whole career. He is nothing at all. I've seen Wentz for 4 years, and I know he's just better than that guy.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? Well, Dak Prescott didn't have receivers. He was phony. Now he got receivers. He's just the greatest thing. No, Wentz lost the best receiver deep in the league. All of a sudden, he just can't play. Yeah. I don't understand why can't he just be a logical deduction. All right.
But John, it's a great call. But I do got to stop you on the one thing you said at the very end. No one's saying he can't play. What some of us, including myself, are saying is he's not quite as good as you think he is. There's a difference between that.
Do Wentz deserve the benefit of the doubt for his career right now? Before as he plays,
I don't know how to answer that. I don't even know what that means. The benefit of the doubt.
Season, basically 11 games, he was the MVP, right? So now in two games, one game he was excellent. The next game he lost all his weapons, but he still pulled it out to win the game and he dropped the pass. I'm just saying he deserves some type of credit. That's all I'm saying.
And I give him some credit. And I also tell you, I think he deserves more blame than you're giving him.
But he's the best quarterback ever in this team, bottom line.
All right. John, we appreciate the call, man. Let's go to Mike, who's with us. Mike, what's going on?
That was a great call, by the way.
Well, it was a fascinating call.
That was really solid.
I agree with parts. I disagree with parts. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, John. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
You guys, you're awesome. First time caller from Kansas, by the way.
Wow. All the way from Kansas. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, so my issue, I think it's Doug's first half play calling. I mean, if we go all the way back to last year, I mean, we're not doing any scoring. We're not moving the ball like the way we are in the second half. And don't get me wrong, Doug in the second half play calling has been just fine. But to me, I feel like it's almost like he needs to wait to see what's going to happen before he even decides to make his game plan. And then we're a totally different team in the second half. So I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that.
I am worried, Mike, about the hope. It's supposed to be this symbiotic relationship between Doug and his offensive staff, you know, with Mike Groh and with Deuce Staley, and the way that they would plan things like it was with Frank Reich when we won it all. It doesn't feel like it's as effortless as it was with Frank. I think the proof's in the pudding. You know, now we're in our second year without Frank, and it doesn't seem like things just are rolling off the script way they were.
Yeah, I look at it, and it is. I mean, it's a dramatic difference from 2 years ago when they were the best starting team in the league to last year where they were very inefficient. And now you're two games in, and you've had the same pattern continues. And I'm trying to be patient and measured about this. And the first week, I really did think it was a rust factor. I really did think legitimately the first half, they just got a sink.
Yeah.
Second half, they really got it rolling. Now, you come back this week, you can't say it's rust, obviously. Not after you blow the other team out the second half last week. You can't come back a week later and say, now we're rusty again. So it wasn't that. But I really do think the fact that their whole receiver core got blown up in the first 5 minutes of the game. As an offensive coaching staff, they have to start tearing it down, rebuilding it on the fly. So I think it took them the rest of that half and then halftime to kind of figure out, for the coaches to figure out what our new approach is going to be and for the players to figure out exactly what their roles were going to be. And I think that had to do with it. Now, this week, I think it's going to be a better test in terms of preparation. You know, the coaches now know they have a whole week. They're not going to be playing with their full deck of cards, but they know which cards they have. So they have this whole week now to put together a game plan built around these players, who are good players, but you're just going to have to redesign and scale down your offense to some degree. Now this week, and I think they're aware of it, this week they have to come out and they have to absolutely start faster. I would like to see them play a little more tempo in the first half. I'd like to see them speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I maybe even go, I don't want to take us all back to the days of Chip Kelly, but I wouldn't be objecting if they got the ball the first time and just went no huddle right away. Just to get the quarterback, as John said before, you know, get once in a rhythm early and get the offense moving and maybe for the first time actually get a lead. I think that might not be a bad strategy.
Well, it's interesting. I like that. Ray, this may be the flimsiest question I've ever asked and flimsiest thought, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think just to try something different, if they win the coin toss, they should take the ball instead of kick off the ball?
It's not the flimsiest question you've ever asked.
There's been worse?
You've had a lot of worse.
But I mean, but Ray, is that just something just like, you know, almost like when a manager changes the batting order or a hockey coach changes who's playing on what line? I mean, some of it's strategy, but some of it's like, you know what, it hasn't worked for 11 straight games. Let's try something different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think it's just like, hey, let's just try something different and take the ball first?
If I won the toss, I would still defer because I think it's a sound strategy, and that's kind of the way everybody's working now, and I think these guys feel confident with that. Also, to be frank with you right now, given the personnel you have on offense, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in them to take the ball the first time and not go three and out. So I would probably stick with the script, and if I win the toss, defer. But the first time I get the ball, I definitely would have a different approach. And as I said, I think I would try to run a quicker tempo.
We have so many questions to get into with Ray coming up because there's so many parts of this team, including Miles Sanders, the running game struggling, Ronald Darby, and more. We'll address it all with Ray coming up next. Rock the phone calls as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
I used to think weighing 260 was okay. I mean, I played at that weight, right? Well, you know, I'd lost all the muscle, replaced it with fat. I was 260. It wasn't easy. It wasn't convenient for me to try to cook a special way with special ingredients. I just didn't have time for that. Well, I started on Nutrisystem for Men 3 weeks ago, and I can't believe the results that I'm seeing already. I've lost 28 pounds, lots of inches off the waist. You can do this too. And the food is delivered right to my house. No sweat, no worry. It's even faster to prepare than the way I was cooking and eating before. And Nutrisystem offers the foods that I love. Pizza and burgers. I had one last night. Chicken parm, ice cream. I just had a soft pretzel for a snack. And these meals are perfectly balanced to put your body in fat burning mode. You can lose up to 18 pounds and 8 inches overall in your first month. That's money back guaranteed. Go to Nutrisystem.com/men right now. Click on the radio icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Use the promo code Richie, R-I-T-C-H-I-E, to get $50 off plus a week of protein-packed shakes for free. And those are delicious. Results will vary. Offer restrictions apply. See website for details.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.